We have two portions of Scripture this morning, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. The Old Testament is Hosea chapter 14, and from the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to the end of the chapter. Hosea 14 and Romans 1 at verse 18. Hear the word of God. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us, and we will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel, he shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread, his beauty shall be like an olive tree, and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return, they shall be received like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the vine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Now, the text is found in this portion, and it is particularly verse 3. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. And then we read also this background reading from Romans 1. And we begin reading at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, turned in their lust to one another, for one another. Man with man committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness and sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Here ends the reading of Scripture. Blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but also keep it. Hallelujah. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, apparently the bulletin gets sent out via email, and I even had one of you parishioners who couldn't wait for this morning to find out what the sermon was all about. Virtual children of virtual reality. Now, we all know what is meant by reality, but how many of you really know what is meant by virtual reality? Reality means what is real. When you buy new tires on your car and you drive them 100,000 clicks, then most of the rubber will have worn off. That's reality. When you take a sharp corner too fast with your car, chances are that you roll the car or fly out of the curve. Well, that's because of the centrifugal force, and that also is simply reality. So reality is the way things really are. But what then is virtual reality? It's something that seems real, but actually is not. You go to a military training camp for paratroopers, and there's a man hanging in parachute straps while he has a big set of goggles on, which covers also his ears. But the goggles are closed. He cannot look through them. And yet what he sees inside those goggles is like a movie. And he is falling through the air. And he hears the air whistling by him. He may even feel the tugging of the air and the wind. It is so real that he even may think that he is actually falling through the air. But that is not the case. Instead, it is virtually real. It is just like it is real. And that is virtual reality. There is the same kind of setup for bus drivers. But then there are also many games on the computers. I'm not a games person, but I understand that there are many games on the computer which appear to be so real that sometimes you can't tell the difference with actual reality. Again, that is virtual reality. But what does it have to do with our Christian faith? What does it have to do with the text? Well, in the text we read that the people of Israel must not say any more to the work of their hands, "Ye are gods." Why, you say to me, that's idolatry. They took a block of wood and they carved it into a figure and covered it with silver and gold and paint, and they made that block of wood into an idol, and then they bowed down before it. That's idolatry. And you're right. And you may say, we don't do that anymore. And you're right again. But none of us here would bow down to any dressed-up block of wood. And yet idolatry is very much like virtual reality. Those idols were not real. But those idols were very real for the people of Israel in those days. In their minds, those idols really existed. You say, yes, those idols existed in their minds, but they were not real. Well, you're right again. Only because these idols were so real to the minds of the people, the rule of those idols over them was also real to them. More, the whole way they saw their world was determined by their conviction that these idols were real, very real gods. And of course, the way you see your world also determines the way you're going to live. It influences the decisions you make. If you believe that your bank is going to go broke next week, then you'll start standing in line at 3 o'clock this morning, next morning, to get your money out of it. That's what happens when you act upon your faith. And so for those people of Israel who believed in those idols determined their way of life. For them, life under those idols was reality. Of course, it was not actual reality. The only true reality is living knowingly before the face of the Lord God Almighty. But those believers in those idols believed only one kind of reality, that of the idols, or really, virtual reality. Now, like we already said, we people do not believe in dressed-up blocks of wood. But that doesn't mean that there are not all kinds of virtual realities in our world today. Take a computer game of car racing. I have seen even adults sitting in front of a computer screen racing with the other cars on the screen. And the sound is there, and the engines are roaring. I heard that, and you could hear the shifting and everything. I thought it was quite amazing. But then the car was going into a curve, and the adult sitting behind the screen, he, as the car went into the curve, he went, he leaned into the curve. There was no curve really, but he leaned right into it. And you know, virtual reality. But then, when he crashes, you know, and he laughs, and he starts over again. You know, that's virtual reality. But what happens when people try some things like that actually on the road and they crash? That's a totally different reality. But then there are also other virtual realities. There are people who get involved in another religion. Let's say they decide to follow the Hindu religion. Now they begin to see the world through the eyes of Hinduism. But what happened when they die? Well, and then turns out that they are not by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is only condemnation for them. It turns out that their Hindu understanding of the world was only virtual reality, not real reality. And now they face real reality, which is condemnation. And it should be clear, of course, that you can multiply these virtual realities by as many religions or even worldviews as you can find. Now, the prophet Hosea calls upon the people of Israel to say no longer to the work of their hands, "You are gods." Hosea is actually saying, get away from that virtual reality. There is only one reality which is true, and that is the reality of the Lord God. There is only one in whom the fatherless find mercy. Now, when we hear about the fatherless, we almost automatically think of children, of orphans, and children left to themselves. And so we come to the theme of this message, children which are allowed to grow up with virtual reality end up fatherless. Children that are allowed to grow up with virtual reality end up fatherless. We first look at virtual reality is great until the pigs. Now, before anything else, mentioning the pigs has nothing to do with the pig farmers of today. Instead, it is, of course, a reference to the parable of the prodigal son. If you picture for yourself the prodigal son amidst the swine he was herding, then it is amazing how the words of verses 1 and 2 of our chapter out of Hosea fit that situation. For what again did we read there? O Israel, return to the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. Take with you words and turn unto God, unto the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, and we will render the sacrifices of our lips or the praises of our lips. And you can hear these words as soundings through the heart of the prodigal son. But what does the story of the prodigal son have to do with virtual reality? Well, what do we have here? Well, we have a young man here who has lived his whole life thus far on the farm under the governing of his father. And of course, we have to go back 2,000 years the way it was then on the farm, no tractors and none of that. And it was very simple farming. And he's been there all his life. But somehow or other, the young man had been able to see something of the world outside the farm, a world which appeared very attractive to him. A totally different world, to be sure, but in his eyes, definitely a much more attractive world. And this now is the world he longs to enter. Well, in those days, that wasn't so easy. I'm sure the young man hardly got any pocket money, if at all, while working for his dad on the farm. And he didn't have a bank account or anything much saved up. But his longing for the other world is so strong that he is willing to take a cut on his heritage. And so his father then pays out the young man's share of the farm, and the young man leaves the farm for another world, a world which in his eyes is so much more attractive. One translation has it that he began a life of wild living. Later on, his older brother complains that his younger brother has wasted his inheritance with prostitutes. Whatever the case may be, it is not difficult to see that the young man amidst the group of like-thinking people raises a glass and thinks or even says, this is the life. And silently comparing it with the boring life on the farm. Now, when you come to think of it, this story is not really all that strange for us today. If you compare the way of life on the farm back then with the way of life in practically all our church homes, I dare say, then it is not difficult to think that at least some of you young people also may sometimes itch to get out from underneath the guidance of your parents. Today, it's much more likely than in the days of the Lord Jesus that young people get a good look at a life which appears to be totally different and much more interesting and exciting than your home back on the farm. I mean, your life back home. It may very well seem that life on the other side of the fence is really the true life. And so it must be, so it must have looked for the young man of the farm, of the prodigal son, that it was much better where he was. That is, until his money ran out. And not only did his money run out, it also happened at the time when the economy was way down, and then a great famine sweeps over the land, and so the young man begins to starve. And the only job he could find was herding swine, and those beasts got more to eat than he did. And that opened his eyes. Opened his eyes to what? Well, it opens his eyes to the fact that ever since he had left home, he had really been living in a dream world, an unreal world. As long as he had money, he had been thinking that this was the life. But now he realized that he had been living in virtual reality. This was not the real life at all. But he did not realize that until he woke up amidst the pigs. We also read earlier on a portion of Romans chapter 1, and it may be thought to be a little far-fetched, but when you read some of those descriptions, then it is a rather beastly life led by those described there. There is a world out there which is filled with people which have traded in the truth about God for the lie, and who are worshiping the things created by God instead of the Lord God himself. And that is just as the Israelites had been doing in the days of Hosea. As a result, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness and sin and greed and hate and envy and murder and quarreling and so on and so on. And they became haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. And so they invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. Well, we read the whole thing. It is tragic. Now, that is more or less the life on the other side of the fence. It is the life of virtual reality. And that's what the young man discovered when he woke up amidst the swine. He did not realize that the real truth about what it was to live in the virtual reality that looked so good while he was still on the farm. He didn't realize the real truth. Now, today, there are thousands, I better say millions of people who also live in some kind of virtual reality. But they do not know any better. They think that this is really real. The young man on the farm had a great advantage over all those other people. He had experienced a life in true reality. He had lived in godly surroundings. He had known a clean life. He had known an honest life. He had known a life which now there amidst the pigs, as it were, screamed at him, "Do you now see which is the real life? Why don't you return home? You don't belong here." You can be sure that there is an open door for you when you go back home. Because now, suppose the young man had not been raised the way he was. Would he ever have thought about another way of life? Suppose he had not been raised the way he was. would he ever have had a place to which to return? Suppose he had not been raised the way he was, would he ever have seen through all the lies of virtual reality which he had chosen over his father's reality? Not very likely. Not very likely that he would have known a way out of his predicament. The virtual reality which promised so much would have starved him to death, either literally or as a human being. How important it then is to raise our little ones, so to say, on the farm, within real reality. To raise our little ones, instructing them in the truth of God, to give them as good a taste of real life before the face of God as possible. Of course, it must be our prayer that they stay with true reality, that they stay with the Lord God. But even if they at one point do leave the farm, the family home, then at least we may know that they've had a good taste of how things really are. And if they ever wake up among the swine, we pray that they may remember and return home. That brings us to the point, no father needed until the pigs. Have you ever wondered how much the young man from the farm thought about his dad after he left the farm? Have you wondered how much thought the young man gave to his life on the farm before he left, after he left the place? Most likely not too much. For we are told that it wasn't till he found himself starving among the pigs that he came to his senses. And it was only then that he realized what a good life he really had back on the farm. Until that time, the young man really had been fatherless. But we have to carry this a little further. No one will argue, I'm sure, with the interpretation that the father in the parable is really God the Father. So the life of the young man off the farm was really a life away from God the Father, and therefore a godless life. And that is one aspect of life in virtual reality. For the only real reality is living before the face of the Lord God. All other living, whether it is as a Hindu or a Muslim or as an atheist or a New Ager and so on, it's all living in virtual reality. It may even be a very decent life in many ways. A person may not be wasting his money on prostitutes and wild living, but it is nevertheless a godless life, and so all such people are truly fatherless. But then we have to go a step further beyond the parable, for the parable does not mention the young man's mother. And yet we are told in the New Testament, in Galatians 4:26, that the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. And from that word comes the well-known expression and teaching that the church is our mother. John Calvin, in commenting on this text, writes that the heavenly Jerusalem, which derives its origin from heaven and dwells above by faith, is the mother of believers. And then Calvin goes on to say, to the church under God, we owe it that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And from her we obtain the milk and the food by which we are afterwards nourished. No wonder that the young man was starving among the pigs. He had not lived for I do not know how long without God the Father, but also for all that time without being nourished by his mother with milk and food. The young man had not just been fatherless, but a total orphan. Well, today, there are many real orphans in the world. I mean, you go to Africa and also other places, there are thousands, thousands of real orphans. And what do those literal orphans lack? Well, first of all, they're usually underfed, which is why they lack strength. Little babies, also, that become orphans, receive no nourishment, and they receive no aid. But also, as orphans grow up without father or mother, they have no one to lead them, to instruct them. And they have to learn so many things about life. When a human being laughs at them, then he shows the teeth. And then the little one sees a dog that shows the teeth, and he says, he's laughing. No, he's not laughing. So orphans have to learn things, and if the parents aren't there to teach them these things. So it takes wisdom to learn all that. It takes parents to teach children all that wisdom. Orphans lack wisdom until they learn by painful experience. But the young man does not realize until he's among the pigs what his condition really has been without a father and a mother, without the Lord God and the church. For when you are living in virtual reality, you really do not have a true heavenly father, nor a heavenly mother. And which is why it is extremely important that our little ones be raised in a true reality and be clearly instructed how important it is, not only for this life here and now, but also for the life hereafter, that they must believe and trust in God the Father, the triune God, and that they faithfully must be part of their mother's brood of the church. For it is only in that way that they come to know and to live out of the reality of the Father's mercy. We know the last part of the parable, how the young man, after coming to his senses, after breaking away from virtual reality back to true reality, determines to go back home and to confess to his father how he has been wrong, how he has sinned, and is not worthy to be called his son anymore. There is clearly one thing that has stayed with the young man while in virtual reality land, namely this, that his father is merciful. That is something which truly must have made an impression on the young man, that his father was a merciful man, not a hard man, not an unforgiving man, not a tit-for-tat man. There is an application here. Yes, we must teach our little ones and our youth about the glory and the majesty and the holiness of the Lord God our Father. But we must also stress again and again that the Lord God himself testified to Moses, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Yes, there is more, but this for now is good. It'll do. And then we are enabled also to make clear how the Lord God could be that way, namely through the Lord Jesus Christ and his obedience, his death on the cross, that the Lord God could be that way because of his own love for sinners and because of the love of the Lord Jesus for sinners, his son, and because of the love of the Holy Spirit for sinners. And so the young man makes his way back to the farm, to his father's house. He makes his way back having to face everybody with the confession that life in virtual reality turns out to be no life at all, but sure death, a banquet in the grave. And he comes seeking to admit it once more, to be admitted once more to the safety of his father's house, seeking to come under the tender, loving care, the nurturing care of his heavenly mother. The young man was really blessed in having such a merciful father. He could be thankful that his older brother had not taken over the farm, for then he would never have gotten back in, which is really a hint that the older brother also lived in a virtual reality, even though he stayed on the farm. He also lived in a merciless world. There was not much tender, loving concern in that older brother for people who had come to their senses among the pigs, people who wanted to return to true reality. It's a question directed to all of us who have never left the farm for the world, a question concerning our willingness to open the door to returning sinners, our willingness to throw a party for those who want to come in from the cold. Where then do we learn about real reality? Really, out of God's word. From Hosea, we learn that there have always been people who needed to return to the Lord their God, people who have stumbled because of their iniquity. Verse 2 says, take words with you and return to the Lord. Take words with you? Yes, like the young man did. I will take these words with me. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Those are the words with which actually all of us have to come from time to time before our Heavenly Father in the presence of our Heavenly Mother. Every week, every day, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. When we do that, then there will always be room for anyone who comes home out of virtual reality. But then there will also be patience and long-suffering with our little ones as we instruct them and feed them and as they grow up under the wings of Mother Church. And then we shall confess not only to the Lord our God, but also to each other, even to our children. Truly, I'm not worthy to be called God's child. And then we shall also tell our little ones how all this is possible, that we still dare to think of ourselves as God's children. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ, only because he left the true reality of his Father's presence and entered into our sinful world, our virtual reality, in order to prepare the way back to his Father's home for all who believe in him. What a wonderful good news this is. For apart from him and his guidance through God the Holy Spirit, the young man would never have left the swine and would have persisted there everlastingly. And think of it, how many millions, even of our fellow Canadians, are living that way and no way out. Which is why it is so extremely important that our little ones do not grow up in some sort of virtual reality, that they may not end up fatherless and motherless, which is why the Lord Jesus promised his disciples, I will not leave you comfortless, or as another translation has it, I will not abandon you as orphans. Let us then draw near to God the Father, and stay close to our mother from above, and we shall not perish, but have real life, and have it more abundantly. Amen. Now go in peace, bearing the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.